You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. Free, you got to do what you have to do. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms. But I happen to take the vaccines.
Those are the words of President Trump at that time. And he got booed. He got booed by the crowd when he started talking about take the vaccine. Wasn't president at the time. I need to clarify that. He was making that statement at the time in Alabama on August 23rd, and again encouraging folks to get the vaccine. And of course, point out that the Trump administration fast-tracked to get the vaccine out, and he believes saved millions of lives. Well, some folks are making their decision. They want the vaccine. Others still not. But here's where we're going as of today, and we're waiting for this to happen. It's probably going to happen about an hour after we wrap up today's program. The White House making it clear that 4 o'clock Central Time, President Biden will address reporters and going to release 6 points. A 6-pronged plan to fight COVID-19. Word leaking out that it does include vaccine and mask requirements. They're not giving much more than that. Maybe they're just floating a trial balloon, see what our reaction is. And of course, we have many already demanding that if you're going to be in a particular job, you have to have a vaccine. And others are fighting against it. Even some members of hospitals are fighting against it. Now, when Trump made those remarks in Alabama, that state has a very high number of unvaccinated and a high number of COVID cases. I have told you, and I respect and repeat again for you, you need to make the decision for you. But Trump said, I got vaccinated. I feel very good. I think we saved millions and millions of people worldwide. So he recommends it. And yet there's a report that comes out that points out that more children have been shot this year in Chicago than have died from COVID in the entire U.S. May I repeat that again for you? More children have been shot this year in Chicago than have died from COVID in the entire nation. And yet your kids are being masked, told to wear a mask, and the vaccines are not approved for those below 16, age 16 at this time, but they want to go down to 12. And yet they're also saying the vaccines are okay for a pregnant woman to have a child still in the womb. And the problem is we have so much confusion about all this and the demands and the restrictions. People have had it up to here. And, of course, many people say, well, you're just trying to be an anti-vaxxer. No, I say do what you think you should do for you and your family. But we've got too many people right now just demanding, oh, it's got to be our way or no way. Or our way or the highway in some companies. If you don't do it, you're out of here. We're also going to deal today with how the State Department and the Biden administration believe that the Taliban would be nice. They'd be working with us. They'd help us. They'd help us get Americans out. We still do not know how many Americans Biden has abandoned in Afghanistan. A flight apparently did get out earlier today, but maybe 80 Americans at the most. And I want to point out to you that when they started putting their cabinet together, their new government, the Taliban, four of the members were previously at Gitmo. They got released by Obama for bird dog. Do you remember that story? It's coming back to haunt us. And I should also remind you that a procession approaching Jefferson Barracks, if not already there, for full military honors and burial for Marine Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz of the St. Louis area, who was one of those killed in the bombing at Kabul. A lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Four of the ex-Guantanamo Bay inmates freed in exchange for Bo Bergdahl have been named top commanders in Afghanistan's new Taliban government. Former U.S. Army Sergeant Josh Corder was a member of Bo Bergdahl's platoon, and he joins me now. First of all, thank you for your service. Thanks for being here. I'm curious your reaction when you heard this news.
Honestly, it wasn't all that surprising to me. Kind of when he got released in 2014, I already saw, like, I felt in my heart like this was what was going to happen. So I just kind of am reacting along with everyone else in the nation, but it's still heartbreaking and horrifying. As soon as they released prisoners for him, I knew that it was never going to turn out the way that we all hoped it was going to, because we legitimized the Taliban.
We basically did recognize and legitimize the Taliban with the release of Bergdahl under the Obama administration. I think it's worth us going back over this storyline, because now we're letting the Taliban take over Afghanistan again. And as they begin to form their government, the reaction from the Biden White House and the State Department is absolutely, good God, what are they drinking that they would have thought otherwise? Secretary of State Blinken just yesterday said, we expected them to, the Taliban, to do better when it came to forming their government. They're forming an interim government already, and it's all male. No surprise. They're not going to give any woman a position. And we have to be concerned about some of those that they are now naming to their new government. The Pentagon admits, yeah, we need to be concerned, quote, by the affiliations and track records of some of the individuals. Some appointed by the Taliban. One of them, now serving as Taliban's acting interior minister, connected to a 2008 attack on a Kabul hotel that killed six, including a U.S. citizen. He was among those who were released from Gitmo as we did the deal to get Bowie Bergdahl back home. Because the storyline then was he got captured, wandered away from camp by mistake, went the wrong direction in the middle of the night, or just got who knows how. I mean, they could make up any kind of story they wanted, but the bottom line was he was captured. And Obama made a decision and a deal to trade out some Gitmo Bay detainees in exchange for Bowie Bergdahl. You were hearing then a former member of Bowie Bergdahl's platoon, Josh Corder, expressing his disgust. And of course, right now we've got Americans still stranded behind enemy lines in Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. And we cannot get an accurate number from this administration as how many are there. They keep shifting and moving it. I think they're counting half of them. Sometimes they'll add another 10, and then maybe they'll take... You cannot follow this math. This is the new math under the Biden administration. But we got lives at stake now. The White House, the Biden approach is, well, we're going to be negotiating with the Taliban. And the State Department was many times trying to blame the Taliban for not letting planes take off and get Americans out of there. But then a leaked email proved that, no, the State Department was also refusing to let the planes go because they'd not cleared the landing space for them to go to later, some of the bases where they wanted to send them. You and I can sit here confused and say, what a dog and pony show. But we've got the lives of Americans at stake at this point. And do we negotiate with terrorists? Well, again, Obama, when he was in office, and the issue with Bergdahl came up that the word was he was being held hostage, and then Obama worked a deal to release inmates from Gitmo in exchange for him, and they were assuring us those being released were the administration at the time was saying these guys aren't that bad, and they're just going to go home and grow potatoes or sit in their gardens and smoke hashish or something like that. When you had to know if you release them and they get a chance to turn any weapon upon an American or our nation, they would do it again. But Obama, when he addressed the nation when he was in Belgium, June 9, 2014, he was telling reporters why he made this decision and posing as a man of compassion, not a man being extorted, nor a leader of a country allowing negotiations and ransom demands for terrorists to be paid. No, his take was, it's the humane thing to do.
I think it was important for people to understand that this is not some abstraction. This is not a political football. You have a couple of parents whose kid volunteered to fight in a distant land, who they hadn't seen in 5 years and weren't sure whether they'd ever see again. And as Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces, I am responsible for those kids. And I get letters from parents who say, if you are in fact sending my child into war, make sure that that child is being taken care of. And I write too many letters to folks who unfortunately don't see their children again after fighting a war. I make absolutely no apologies for making sure that we get back a young man to his parents, and that the American people understand that this is somebody's child, and that we don't condition whether or not we make the effort to try to get them back.
We don't, but you did. You got him back on the condition you release Gitmo detainees, releasing them to go home and supposedly do no more harm. And right now we have parents and our siblings, our children of Americans still in Afghanistan because we botched our withdrawal. We decided to pull all the troops out except for 2,500 that are primarily intel operations, not combat. And then closed down, that was the next step, closing down Bagram Air Force Base. So we had no way to get Americans out. Obama has insisted, since he made that deal for Bowie Bergdahl, he's not going to apologize for it. He said, I did what I needed to do at that point. Well, of course, what happened later turned out, as reports began to come from members of the platoon that knew Bergdahl, he was not a captee, he was a desertee. But the Obama administration Democrat supporters still pushed back, saying, well, his life is still under threat because he's in captivity. As if the Americans in Afghanistan right now are not. An Army fact-finding investigation did conclude in the months after Bergdahl's 2009 disappearance, he had left his outpost deliberately on his own free will. That is desertion. But still, there was no definitive finding that he deserted because that would require knowing his intent, which they just could never do. But we do know this. In the process of trying to find him, some of the operations underway, we had at least six soldiers who got killed in some of those operations. And you heard again a moment ago the member of Bowie Bergdahl's platoon, Josh Corder, just disgusted that these Gitmo detainees were released for a deserter. And he said, We did then, and what we're doing now, he said, we seem to be legitimizing the Taliban. Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Undersecretary of Defense, says, some of you Americans may not really understand who these people are.
These are bloodthirsty people. I mean, all you have to do is go back and look at some of the intel reports on these people. These people have killed not only a lot of Americans, but they've also killed a lot of the people in Afghanistan that happen to be from one of the other tribes. These are brutal, evil people.
Brutal, evil people. You think he's exaggerating? Well, the Biden White House and State Department, they still think, oh, these guys will be nice. They haven't put any women on their councils and their government yet, and they say they're going to treat women differently, and we're just kind of buying that story. Well, that story, in the words of retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, is a bunch of, well, I'll let him explain.
There's a quip in the military that goes something like, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. And what we have is we have an administration to include the State Department and is probably the worst violator here that is just digging this hole deeper and deeper and deeper. When I came into the counterterror business in 1978, that was the creation of the Delta Force. We had a long-standing policy in the U.S. government that we did not negotiate with terrorists. Now, what we're doing today is violating everything that we've said for several decades now about how we deal with terrorist organizations.
Yeah, we are. In fact, in dealing with them now, we're just saying, what do you want? What do you want? We'll get it to you. But Boykin does say, while the government doesn't seem to really know what to do and how they should go about doing it, he says there are some steps that can be taken, because we have already seen some of these private groups come together and get Americans out, or some of their allies that had worked with them previously. He said they need our support.
We can throw in with these private groups that have some very bold, but more importantly, committed people that want to go out there and bring home their fellow Americans, as well as their buddies that served with them in Afghanistan, the Afghans that stood with us. And it is time for the State Department to get off the dime and create a partnership with these people and not be totally dependent upon what they're doing now, which is negotiating with the Taliban.
Negotiating with the Taliban. And again, among the leaders announced to be serving in this new Taliban government, a guy wanted by the FBI for that 2000 attack on a Kabul hotel, leaving six dead, including one U.S. citizen. Stand by for another part of this story.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What equipment, military arsenal, arms, equipment, artillery, planes, you name it, what did we leave behind? What was it that its value? What kind of national security risks? And do we have by what we left behind in Afghanistan and not knowing that information? And every single House Democrat voted against, I would say, a very common sense amendment. If you care about our country, you care about our national security here and abroad, then you would care to know what we left behind. But they all voted against it. And it's just so unbelievable to me that that's where we are as a country. They'd rather spend your money figuring out how to do social and environmental justice spending, socialist program spending, than figure out what we did in Afghanistan, what we left behind, and what our national security risks are.
She is right on point. That is Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, appearing on a Breitbart News interview. She was talking about, in her capacity as a member of the House Oversight Committee, and she thought, I want a legislative amendment to utilize a very nebulous line dealing with $25 million to invest and look at what military equipment did we give up in Afghanistan, leave behind. What's the real value? Now, that in itself, would that not be something of value for Democrats also to want to know? Maybe for some, yeah. But for others, we got to find another shiny object. Oh, climate control. Oh, and maybe more White House mask and vaccine mandates affecting millions. They have their agenda. They're going to push it. They're going to ignore anything they can to show what debacle in Afghanistan. What are you talking about? You don't see it on the network news. I want to deal with that subject a little bit later before we wrap up this hour, because the state-controlled media is doing its job, looking everywhere but where they should be. Congresswoman Mace pointed out, not just what we've abandoned and left behind, but again, how it could end up affecting our national security. And she said, shouldn't we know, want to know what we did leave behind? But she said, every Democrat voted against it. Every Democrat. They were more concerned about, well, how do we get this big climate bill put in? What do we do to defund police? What do we do to make people wear a mask or be locked up in jail? What do we do to make people get a vaccine or lose their job and their income? Even if they have a doctor's written notice, this person is susceptible to other issues from that vaccine and they're better off without it, or that they have some other condition, or religious exemptions. Don't look for many of the progressive, the true progressives, to hold up religion as a reason to do anything. I mean, we've already seen Senator Biden turn on his religion. The Catholic faith is against abortion. And when he was a U.S. senator, he dutifully fulfilled not only his obligation to country, but to God by, you know, supporting the Hyde Amendment, which said no federal dollars can be used for abortions. But then when it came to actually having a chance to be in the White House, he changed. Just as he's changed that he previously said, life begins at conception. But now, maybe not. This is a constant shell game that's being played by the progressive left, trying to con you into believing that this is the most important thing you need to focus on right here. Even the fact when Biden was touring the damage in New Jersey from the hurricane aftermath and down in Louisiana, he starts it. He can't resist all my climate change. Well, there's another part of Afghanistan and what Biden is doing. And coming up, James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation, expert in national and worldwide security, says basically Joe Biden is enabling the next 9/11. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota. For life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Our next guest we've had on numerous times before, and the audience absolutely loves to hear from him, Heritage Foundation Vice President James J. Carafano, who oversees national security and foreign policy issues. James, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Well, you might like to hear from me, but the news doesn't get any better.
I agree. It's not going to get any better. I gave them, in fact, in setting you up before we went to break, I said, you wrote a piece, and the title is Joe Biden is Enabling the Next 9/11. Go ahead.
Yeah. Look, you know me. I'm not a fearmonger. I'm not a partisan voice. When I say something, I really mean it. And because we have engaged, enabled, and empowered the Taliban, they have more territory, more money, more military, more international cooperation than they've ever had. They are not going to be cowed by Joe Biden, anything Joe Biden says or wants. And we may, because Biden doesn't have anything else, he thinks maybe we can normalize the Taliban, get them to act better. They're not going to act better. They're going to act worse for the simple reason that they are more powerful. And in their part of the world, being perceived as strong and powerful, that is the coin in the realm.
And on top of that, we look extremely weak now in that part of the world.
so this is essentially bin Laden's narrative come to life. So Al-Qaeda and the Haqqani network, they're going to work with the Taliban. Nobody's going to stop the Taliban from doing that. They're going to go back. Well, Al-Qaeda is going to go back to Afghanistan. The leadership's going to move from Iran to Afghanistan if they haven't already. Once they get there, they're going to plan the next 9/11. And they're going to want to make sure the entire world knows that they planned it from Afghanistan. This is the only way they can recover their honor and respect, fulfill a historic mission, show that God has blessed them. So when I say Biden put us on the road for the next 9/11, that's not a joke, or it's not meant to be mean.
Right.
This is a reality. They are coming after us right now as we speak. They are going to plan a major attack on the United States because that is the thing that will fulfill their destiny.
Well, our State Department sees a bigger concern than that, Jim. Our State Department is concerned about the makeup of this new Afghan government because there are no female leaders. That's what they're concerned about.
Look, this just makes America look incredibly weak. And it actually emboldens the Taliban. Look, you have a group of known terrorists. They have terrorists from different groups in their government. They have invaded a country and overthrown a legitimate government. They are oppressing 38 million people. They are the largest drug trafficker in South Asia. They have committed innumerable human rights abuses. As we speaking, they are hunting down and killing Afghans. They are beating journalists. They are prohibiting public demonstrations. And the leader of the free world, the best they can muster is they don't have women in their government.
Yeah.
Then apparently the Americans think the solution is to have an inclusive, diverse government.
Taliban's got to be woke.
Well, I mean, look,
come on, Jim. The Taliban has to be woke.
Well, no, look. I mean, I think they already are. Look,
yeah, they are.
Their government includes – no, the government includes terrorists, and they have terrorists from different organizations.
Oh, that's
so
good.
By definition, they are inclusive and diverse.
Well, let me drill down on that for a moment. And we laugh, and yet we don't. Before you join us, I was also talking about among those that are now serving in this new interim government, one of those released from Gitmo in exchange for Bowie Bergdahl, and Obama still insists while he was in office, I did the right thing, I don't apologize, so forth and so on. And yet this guy, still wanted by the FBI for a 2008 attack on a Kabul hotel that left six dead, including U.S. citizen. The FBI had a $5 million reward for information leading to his arrest. Now he's moved it to $10 million. We know where he is, but we have no way to go in and get him at this point and don't show that we're going to.
So when I tell you this, I am trying to be objective. I really am. You would ask why under the Obama administration people would think that releasing terrorists was such a good deal, and why under the Biden administration people think that engaging with the Taliban is a good deal. And look, and this is true. There are people in this government and in the party that supports this government that think that turning the world over to the Islamists is not a bad thing, that the world would be fine with the Muslim Brotherhood in charge, with Islamist extremist governments in charge. And when you ask, well, wouldn't that be a danger to the United States? And they would say no, because our goal is to make America look more like them. So there's a part of this government that doesn't see Islam. And you know, when we say this, and your viewers know, because they are smarter than the average bear, the difference between an Islamist and an Islamic, right? Mm-hmm. If you're Islamic, it just means that you are a follower of the Muslim faith. Islamists, and this is a term that wasn't actually developed by conservatives. This is actually a term that was developed by scholars in the Middle East. And Islamist represents a political philosophy. So you align with a religious party, but your political philosophy is authoritarian and totalitarian, and it doesn't eschew the use of violence in order to impose your political will on everybody.
Sure.
So when we say Islamist terrorists, we're not talking about people who are bad because they're Muslims. We're talking about people who are bad because they're more like Nazis and Antifa and BLM than they are like Democrats.
Well, the point I have always made is to make that distinction is that not every Muslim is a jihadist. but every jihadist is a Muslim. And they're just in the midst of them. And, you know, I know many Muslim people, and many of them that love this country, as a matter of fact. So on another part of that, since we're trying to know who the Taliban really is, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Undersecretary of Defense, had said, these are bloodthirsty people. They're evil. They kill. That's what they do. And you think you can negotiate or work with them?
Look, I know I've said this on the show before, and again, it's not meant to be xenophobic or anything. It's reflecting the reality of the world we're in. People have different cultures. That's a product of their history and their upbringing and their society, everything else. You know, in the West, really beginning in the Middle Ages, the idea of honor was established as something as people that do good. You're an honorable person if you pay your debts, don't beat your wife. Right. So we believe honorable is right behavior in the Islamic world in much of the Middle East. Honor evolved as a term about power. It was something that distinguished tribes. You are honorable if you can impose your will upon your opponent. So you are honorable if you are strong. So, for example, if you do an honor killing and you kill your wife, you know, that's an honorable thing.
Except
they see honor. They see honor as strength. And when we go to them and say, look, we'll be nice to you. We'll give you money. We'll give you humanitarian aid. We'll recognize you. We won't say bad things about you. We won't call you our enemy. We think that we are being honorable, that we are treating them by the golden rule. You know, we will treat you as we like to. They interpret that as supplication.
Yeah. The 2 points I want to drill down very quickly, but before I leave this particular issue, you point out in your article, Biden's not alone. Chinese, Russians, some Europeans, UN General Secretary are all lining up to work with this regime.
This will all be the Trail of Tears, my friend.
Yeah.
They will all regret the day they did the pact with the devil.
The other point being is the full part of your premise that Joe Biden is enabling the next 9/11. A fellow writer, friend of yours, John Rosamano, had written that this bungled Afghanistan pullout obliterates our counterterrorism capabilities. And now with what Joe Biden is doing, how else are we enabling the next 9/11?
Well, so we can't stop them because we actually have less capability and visibility than we did under Bill Clinton, and we have less ability to protect ourselves. Our border is wide open. We have millions of people crossing. They passed this $4.5 trillion boondoggle. They're going to get amnesty. Tens of millions of illegal people are going to roll in this country. The border was way less secure than it was on 9/11/2001. If I was advising terrorists, I would say don't try to recruit somebody here to do a terrorist attack.
Sure.
Just send your team here because you'll guarantee results. And have them walk in from Mexico. Way to get here.
And we've caught many Middle Easterns like that. And one final point along that line, there are a lot of questions about these that are coming back as Afghans. And in the last 20 to 30 seconds, do you think we're properly vetting them?
Well, this is another problem, is if you look at the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security, they are much more fixated on executing Biden's political agenda, you know, whatever they want, hounding conservatives, you know, going after Trump voters. They're not focused on stopping transnational terrorists. That's not the mission they've been given by this president.
Boy.
So we have disarmed ourselves on defense while we have disabled our ability to do offense. And that's what we're facing on 9/11/2021.
Thank you very much for your time, Jim. It's a frightening scenario, but you are realistic about it. James J. Carafano with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you, sir. Excellent points. I told you that the mainstream media is helping the state-controlled media because they want you to look away from Afghanistan, too. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
You ain't nothing.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When it comes to knowing what's happening with the Taliban and Afghanistan and all the terrorist activities that are going to be underway, so we don't have another 9/11, although I think James Carafano with Heritage Foundation nailed it, because we're not going to be getting any information out there, and we're too many are willing to just kind of say, well, if we just kind of be nice and get along with them, they'll be nice back. It ain't going to happen. And I was referring earlier to when we were talking to Jim about a column written by John Rosamondo, and he said the decision to give up Bagram Air Base did reduce us to the counterterrorism capabilities where we were when Bill Clinton was president. James Carafano also mentioned that. The point being that Afghanistan is geographically remote, located anywhere from 350 miles to 1,000 miles from the Arabian Sea, where U.S. carriers can launch U.S. air power, depending on the target. Getting there requires overflight permission from Pakistan. And, of course, you have to deal with that. And then you just trying to use a drone, that's also not easy. It would have been easier if we had Bagram Air Force Base still. And while Jim was talking, more details were coming in about this flight that did arrive, a Qatar Airways flight from Karza International Airport, safely landing in Qatar, carrying both U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents. A spokesman for the Qatar government says, saying that everything's been fine. Taliban were cooperating and will continue efforts to facilitate the safe and orderly travel of American citizens and Afghans who worked with us. So how many Americans do we still have over there? You listen to the White House, Secretary of State Blinken, even General Milley, Austin, 100 maybe two. It could be 300. Oh, it's probably closer to less than 100. They're not giving us a correct number. And then you got the way it's being treated by state-controlled media. And I'm not talking about just the CNN of the world. I'm talking about your supposedly major news networks like ABC and CBS. Last night in their Wednesday night news reports, they skipped any coverage how Americans are still trapped in Afghanistan. I mean, they just, if we don't report it, it's not there. In one case, one of them gave a lot of attention to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade or National Baseball Hall of Fame, something like that. They also excluded anything that showed that Biden administration had broken the promise that we would not leave Afghanistan until we get all U.S. citizens out. No, that was also ignored. Newsbusters pointed out that ABC chose to report on what would happen to Afghan refugees already been evacuated, but made no mention of Americans left in the country. CBS failed to mention Afghanistan at all. How the hell can you be a major news operation, CBS, and ignore Afghanistan? You can't be a major news organization and do that. You can be a puppet of the government. NBC did a little bit better. They gave two lines in their Afghan report to Americans left behind. Lester Holt briefly noting the Biden administration still relying on the Taliban to help us get stranded Americans out. And reporter Andrea Mitchell simply stating at the end of her report, yes, there are indeed Americans still trapped in Afghanistan, no clear path of escape. But as I said, ABC started talking about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's 2.5 months away. CBS talking about new inductees in the National Baseball Hall of Fame. NBC spent more time on the removal and chopping up of the Robert E. Lee statue and the conservatorship of actress, singer, entertainer Britney Spears. Yesterday, I take it back, earlier today on MSNBC, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki claimed there are around 100 Americans left in Afghanistan. But she said the number's fluid. And keep in mind, some have decided they don't want to come back. They don't want to leave. I want to see the person that says they're an American citizen and they want to stay there. If they are saying that, it's because they're not allowed to take other family members with them. And they don't want to abandon their family. Don't buy that story. Well, of course, you don't have to worry about watching for it on some of the state-controlled media. Coming up, the push to put more restrictions on vaccines, mask requirements. You're not going to like it. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.